Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. All right, I turned myself off. Welcome back, and whatever that is. Is it an ostrich? Okay, all right. Well, I feel special. Not every day do you turn around and see a stuffed ostrich with a sign, "Welcome back." Thank you. It's good to be back, and good to be with you again after we had a short staycation, vacation, some here, some doing some short things with family, and heading up to Mahaffey Camp for an overnight as well. It's good to be back, and it was good to have some time together as a family. This morning, we are going to continue a series that we've been looking at for the last several weeks on learning to receive, and today, the topic is remain to receive. John chapter 15, if you have a Bible, you can open there. John is the fourth book of the New Testament, the fourth gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, John chapter 15. Some of your translations may have abide, where I will read in the NIV remain, but it's the same word, and we'll talk about it. We're going to seek to answer four questions. But now, 2 weeks and a day ago, Jake and Leah became Mr. and Mrs. Potter. And it was a great day of celebrating their coming together as husband and wife. And one of the things that they did, you know, a lot of times one of the traditional things is to light the unity candle after the vows and the rings and all those things. And sometimes people will do a sand ceremony where they pour in different kinds of sand of different colors. And, you know, one will represent Christ and one will represent the bride and one will represent the groom, and you shake it all together. And it's this picture of two becoming one and bringing Christ into it, this bond. But Jake had an idea of building a cross instead of a unity candle, instead of sand, and whatever it is. But he found a vine that was about 4 inches thick, tall, heavy vine. And then he found four small vines, two that were the same color, and the other two were the same color, representing two representing Jake and two representing Leah, and those were tied together. And then they had a ceremony at the end of their vows where they took that vine, that thick vine, and that was the vertical vine that represented Christ, who is the true vine. And then those four were tied together, representing their lives now brought together and tied to that beam, that vertical vine, to make the horizontal, and it was a cross. And it was stood then behind them, and it was a wonderful picture of their desire to make Jesus, the true vine, the one that they would make the foundation of their marriage as they came together as husband and wife and built their lives upon Christ. It was a wonderful, wonderful picture. Wonderful visual illustration to their desire. And it was a very biblical picture, what we'll see this morning in John chapter 15, of Jesus the vine and we are the branches. We've been in this series, as I've said, on learning to receive. And we've been talking in the last weeks about receiving his presence and being marked by him as Moses was marked, as Israel was marked by the glory of God that set them apart. And we talked about the need to be filled with the Spirit as a subsequent second work, subsequent to salvation, in which we are filled with the Spirit. As that being a critical means in order to be marked by his presence. To literally allow us to carry the glory and the presence of Christ. This morning, we're going to talk about an equally critical reality to being marked by his presence, in addition to being filled with the Spirit, and that is remaining, or as I said earlier, some translations will have abiding in Christ. See, remaining in Christ and being filled with the Spirit are equally necessary. And you really, as we walk through it, hope to be able to see that you can't have one of these without the other. They go hand in hand. So in order to receive, we need to learn to remain or abide in Christ. So to do that, we're going to seek to answer four questions. Four questions, and there'll be some the fill-ins on the screen, but then there'll also be some other things that you can write in as to answers to these questions. And so the first question we'll answer after I read through the first 17 verses so we have the whole picture. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 17, follow along as I read. Jesus is the speaker, and he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine, and neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Verse 9, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. And if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And my command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name, and this is my command: love each other." So what does it look like to receive by remaining? Four questions. The first question to walk through this is this: who is involved? Who is involved? Well, the first verse and verse 5 tell us. Verse 1 tells us that the Father is involved. Jesus says the Father is the gardener, and that he does this work of cutting off every branch that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will bear even more fruit. We have some tomato plants, and some of those vines, some of those branches off the vine were turning yellow, so I snipped them away, pruning them away, so that whatever was causing some of them to become yellow or were not producing much can get cut away, so the branches that are producing will be able to produce. And so the Father is the gardener who prunes and who helps it to grow. Jesus, we're told in verse 1, is the true vine. I am the true vine. He is that vine in Jake and Leah's cross that life comes from. He's the source of life. He's the sustainer of life. When we looked at John chapter 1 several weeks ago, in the beginning was the Word, Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were created through him. Colossians chapter 1 tells us that all things are not only created through him, but are held together by him. He is the source and he is the sustainer of life. And we as believers in verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches." We as believers in Christ are the branches. Just as in that illustration that Jake and Leah had, those smaller branches, Jesus is the vine, we are the branches, and the Father in heaven is the gardener. So who is involved in this whole idea of remaining? Second question is this: when should you remain? When should you remain? Verse 3 gives us some insight on when we should remain. It says, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." When should you remain? At all times, from the moment that you believe. Jesus speaks of being clean here in verse 3 because of the word that he has spoken to his disciples. This is a reference to their belief in him, in his decree, in his declaration that he is the Son of God, that he is the light of the world, that he is the way and the truth and the life, that he is the good shepherd, that he is the gate and the door by which they would enter into life. Their belief in him and their belief in his word and their leaving all things and forsaking all things and following after him alone. This is the cleansing, his belief, their belief in him. And the cleansing is this washing of rebirth and forgiveness of sin. So in other words, from the moment that you believe, there is this beginning time where we are connected into the vine. Understand, before a person comes to faith in Christ, they are not connected to the vine. But at the moment of their understanding, their need for Christ, of their belief that he is the Son of God, and that he is the one who is the way to forgive their sin, as they come to Christ in belief in who he is, as they repent and as they turn to him, they are washed in rebirth, made new, and connected to the vine. Jesus, the true vine. From the moment you come to faith, and then as we will see through the remainder of this passage, all the way until the day that either Jesus returns or we pass from this life into the next, is when we should remain and abide. Because as we will see, apart from him, we can do nothing. So when should you remain? When should you abide in Christ? At all times, from the moment that you believe. Third question has more involved. And the third question is this: why? One friend of mine says the greatest question that we can answer, a lot of times we talk about the what's and the when's and the how's and all those kinds of things, but one of the greatest questions that we need to ask is why? Why do we do it? Why do you remain? And Jesus gives us six reasons why we remain in him as the true vine. The first reason is this: because if we do not, we are dead and useless. Verse 6, if anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Just as a branch that is disconnected from the vine will not bear fruit, will not have life, will shrivel up and die and be thrown into the fire and burned, so it is with our lives. Our spiritual lives will be dead, and we will be useless for the kingdom if we do not remain in Christ. Because in Christ is where there is life and where his presence marks us. Well, that's a hard word, isn't it? We like to think, boy, I can do something for God. I'm going to go do my thing. But that's not what Jesus is saying here, is it? He says, if you are not connected to me, you are like a dead and useless branch. That's a hard word, but it's followed up by a very encouraging word. Why do you remain? Because we are dead and useless if we don't. Why do we remain? Secondly, so that we can bear fruit, so that we can live. Verses 4 and 5 and verse 8, Jesus says, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. In verse 8, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. This is the good news. That apart from him, we can strive and we can work and we can try and we can be frustrated and we can wonder, why is nothing happening of eternal value? Why do I feel, though I'm working so hard, why do I feel so dead inside, so dead spiritually? Well, it may be because we have not remained in Christ. We've been living on our own strength. We've been living on our own energy. We've been living apart from Christ. We've been doing a lot for him, but we haven't been living in him. But the good news is, is that when we remain in him, when we draw near to him, when we seek to stay connected to him, when we seek to allow him to lead us, we will bear fruit, fruit that will last for the Father's glory. What is this fruit? Well, some of these things of fruit are the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 talks about love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. It will be a natural response. We will be able to have victory over those things of sin that continue to pop up and hold us down. We will have a holy, set-apart life, not because I've tried really hard and I've worked really hard for it, but because he is producing holiness in me. He is giving victory in me because he is living his life through me. In the process, as Leah prayed in the beginning, that we would be transformed. We will be transformed more into the image and the likeness of Christ. This is what Romans 8 is all about, that we would become more and more like Jesus. When we stay connected to him, when we stay in intimate relationship with him, we can't help but be changed by him and become more like him. As a result, we'll be marked by his presence, and we'll begin to see some of the works of the kingdom take place through our lives. We will see people come closer to Christ, if not coming into relationship with Christ. We will begin to see God use us to serve people in life-giving ways. You may even be able to see God do miraculous things through you, not because you've done it, but because he's doing it through you, all because of remaining in him. Why do we remain? To bear fruit. The third reason, why do we remain? So that we know what to pray for and we are able to receive. Verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. When you remain in Christ, you can ask for anything and it will be given to you. Now, some of you are going, whoa, where's he going with that? Notice what he says, because there's a big condition. What's verse 7 start with? Does it start with, ask whatever you want, it will be given to you, and end right there? No, it has a big beginning word, if. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, then you will ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. Notice the disclaimer, if you remain, and my words remain in you. We'll get to the my words remain in you a little bit more in a moment. But this is not a magic genie, three wishes kind of thing. Instead, when his life is flowing through you, when you are connected to the vine, something begins to happen. When you're being transformed more into his image and his likeness, something begins to happen. You begin to think more like Christ. You begin to desire the things of God more. You begin to understand what God wants to do in situations that you are praying for. And so you begin to pray, not my will be done, but you begin to pray, your will be done. And when we begin to pray, his will be done, do you think he wants to do his will? Yeah. See, when we come in this remaining relationship, our desires change, our will changes to become his desires and his will, and so we begin to pray what he already wants to do. Which is why we can ask for whatever we want in his name, because the things that we are asking for are the things he already wants to accomplish. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you can ask whatever you want. Because they are his desires. I think that's a pretty cool promise. A pretty cool result to remaining. To know what to pray for. And to know what to receive from him. We said this already. I mentioned this already. Fourth reason, why do you remain? To glorify the Father as his disciples. Verse 8, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. When you pray for these things, and God does them, and they're his desires, who gets the glory? He does. When we look more like Jesus, and we show ourselves to be his disciples, who gets the glory? He does. See, there's an exchange that takes place when we remain. We are marked by him because we become more like him. And when we become more like him and his glory is on our lives in increasing ways, then he's the one who is seen, not us. And so Jesus is the one who receives the glory. Why do we remain? To glorify the Father as his disciples. Two more reasons why we remain. Verse 9, it says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. It's to remain in his love. Remain in Christ so that you may remain in his love. Let me ask you something. Is there anything better than living and remaining in the love of God? And notice whose love this is. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. In the same way, we will have all of this earthly life and all of eternity trying to understand this one. But he is talking about the love the Father has for Jesus the Son is the same love that we can remain in. This eternal love that is selfless, giving, pure and perfect, it's agape love, is the same love that he offers us to remain in. When you remain in Christ, you remain and live in the perfect, pure love of the Father and the Son. Why do we remain? To live in and to receive his perfect, satisfying love. Last reason, why do we remain? Verse 11 says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete, so that we might have Jesus' joy. Remain in Christ and his joy will be in you. Remember, if you were with us during the 8 weeks, we looked at the book of Philippians with joy being that theme. We said over and over every week that joy comes from a deeply rooted relationship with Christ. And this is what he's saying here. When you remain in Christ, when you're grounded in Christ, his joy will be one of the productions. When his joy is in you, your joy will be complete. And this kind of joy flows from the true vine into our lives as we remain in Christ. His love, his joy, fruit bearing, glorifying the Father, knowing what to pray for and what to receive, these are all reasons why. These are all reasons why we remain. In the last few moments that we have, one last question, seeking to be a little bit practical with this. How do you remain? How do you do it? Well, verse 10 tells us, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. How do you remain? Well, first, you obey. The way to remain in Jesus' love is to obey his commands. It's what he says in verse 7, what we talked about earlier when it talks about praying and receiving. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, his word in us, his commands in us, and then obeying them. Friends, understand this. A lot of times obedience can get a bad rap for one of two reasons. Obedience can become legalism. And I do it because I want to be right. And then I begin to look at my life compared to your life, and I begin to say, well, I'm a better Christian because I obey more than you do. And I feel better about myself. Or I see your life and I see you obeying better than me and I go, oh, there's something wrong with me. Obedience can become legalism. This is what the Pharisees did. This is what Jesus went after them for so much is they went after and they said, This is what it means to be holy. This is what it means to be a good follower of God. It is to do all the right things outwardly. Obedience can also be the thing I do to earn. To earn the favor of God. But we don't obey to earn the favor of God. We do it because he has given us his favor. In John chapter 14, this is all, John 14, 15, 16, this is all the same message that Jesus is giving his disciples the night before. In John 14, 15, he says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Not if you want me to love you. It's if you already love me. It's if I have already loved you. This is in relationship. We love. We obey because we love. And we obey because he loves us. It's the way we remain in his love. As the Father has loved him, so he has loved us. Now obey my commands, and as we obey his commands, we remain in his love. Obedience is not optional. It's essential to being a person who is marked by the presence of Christ and who is remaining in him. The first time the glory came down on a person was Moses when he was receiving the law, the commands of God. There is something about the words and the commands of God and our obedience to them out of a loving relationship that brings and allows us to remain in Christ and allows us to be marked by his presence. Because we are a people set apart, a people marked by his ways. Obedience is essential. Though it's not legalism, though it's not earning, though it's not deserving, it is because he has first loved us. We love him by obeying his commands. How do we do it? The commands of Scripture become what we obey. Second, how do you remain? We remain by loving others as Jesus has loved us. Verses 12 through the end of the chapter says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. And this is my command, love each other. Here is this, all of those good blessings of obedience that he reiterates again, of obedience, of asking, of remaining, of abiding, are sandwiched within this concept of here's the command, love one another. As the Father has loved me, so love one another. As I have laid down my life for you, so lay down your lives for others. One of Jesus' greatest commands is to love each other. And our model for how we do that is in the way that Jesus loved us in laying down our lives for one another. You know, loving each other is both a result of remaining and it's a means to activate remaining. It's a both and. You know, it's one of those whole things of which came first, the chicken or the egg. This is one of those questions. Because sometimes people will ask this. Okay, so do I spend time with God and remain in him so that I am able to love others? And the answer is yes. Do I go love others because he's first loved me out of the love he's given to me already so that I can remain? The answer is yes. There are some situations where you have those people in your life that are the extra grace required people, right? And you're all chuckling because you're thinking the person, it may be right next to you, and who knows? But there are those people in your lives that are not easy to love, right? They're not easy to love. And so you know, if I am going to be able to lay down my life like Jesus has laid down his life for me, if I'm going to be able to love one another and remain in the Father, I'm going to need to spend some time with Jesus this morning. Or we're driving and I'm on my way to meet up with this person, and Jesus, you need, I'm abiding in you. I'm remaining in you. You need to fill me with your love, because it's going to need some love pouring out of me if I'm going to love them like you love, have loved me. And so there is that need to be filled and remain so that we can pour out in love. But there are those other times where we step into situations in the moment and we step in and we love well. And we haven't had a lot of time to fill up with the love of God and to remain and to spend all that time. But it's like in the midst of life, there's a situation and you just need to love. And when you do, Jesus meets you there. And he shows up. I was reading in Luke chapter 5 this morning, and it says the power of God was present for Jesus to heal. He was there. The power of God came and they met. Because there is a need. You may step into situations and there's a need to love someone deeply, and you step in because you know the scriptures say, I'm going to step in and love this person, and the presence of God comes and meets you in that place. Now, if you go and say, all right, there's this need and it's there, and it's going to be there for about 2 more minutes, but you know what? I got to go remain first. I'm going to go spend some time reading my Bible and praying. That need's way gone. It's the time that you spent before that will lead you to the place too, that you'll step in and the presence of Jesus will meet you in that spot. And you will remain, and it will actually increase the love of the Father in your life because of your willingness to step into a difficult situation. He'll meet you there. So love each other as Jesus has loved you. And lastly, how do you remain? You remain by being filled with the Spirit. I said at the beginning that it's being filled with the Spirit and remaining are equally critical in carrying the presence of Jesus, being marked by his presence. A large portion of chapter 14 of John and of chapter 16, Jesus devotes to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I would encourage you to read that. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 27, and John chapter 16, verses 5 through 16, are specific teachings that Jesus gives to them about the coming Holy Spirit who is with us today. It's all in the same teaching. So in other words, the point is this, that remaining in Christ will lead to being filled with the Spirit. And being filled with the Spirit will not be possible or will not be able to be maintained without remaining in Christ. The two go hand in hand. You can't separate them. You can't say, I'm going to be about being remaining in Christ and not be filled with the Spirit. And you can't say, I'm going to go and just seek to be filled with the Spirit and not seek to remain in Christ and obey his commands and stay in his love. They're two sides of the same coin. They go hand in hand because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one, so they all work together. This is actually part of a big part of my story, that when I was filled with the Spirit, it came as a result. I was hungering and seeking to know Jesus more. I grew up really familiar with Jesus, and I loved Jesus. And in the Christian Missionary Alliance, what I heard the most was Jesus as our Savior, our Sanctifier, our Healer, and our coming King. So I was all about Jesus. And so when I wanted to go more deeply in my relationship with God, who I went after Jesus. He was the one I knew. He was the one I was most familiar with. He was the one I read about the most. He was the one that was taught to me the most. Jesus. And to that point, I could say, very healthy skepticism of anything of the Holy Spirit. But you know what? As I went and sought after Jesus and remaining in him, and I want to remain in you, Jesus. I want fruit to be born. I want to remain in your love. I want all of this. There was a morning where I was spending time with Jesus and I was reading through scripture and I was waiting on him and I was praying and I was listening to what he said. And here's what he said. He said, "Do you want me?" I said, "Yeah, I want you." He said, "You need to be equally open to my spirit. Because you can't have me without my spirit." And I was brought to a place where I had to really wrestle with some things in my view of what I was open to with the Holy Spirit. But it was because I wanted Jesus and I wanted to remain in him that I said yes. And that led to my being filled with the Spirit. For some of you, your experience, your focus in your relationship with God may be much more like mine was. It may be, well, I love Jesus and I want to remain in Christ and I'm going to remain in his, you know, his words are going to be in me and I'm going to obey his commands and I'm going to remain in the Father's love because I'm remaining in Christ and I'm going to love others like Jesus has loved me. Jesus, remain. If that's you, you may find that you're a little more deficient on your being filled with the Spirit. You're big on Jesus, but it's a little bit more than the Spirit. And so remaining in Christ will mean being filled with the Spirit. And so being open to saying, "Holy Spirit, whatever you have, Jesus, you told me you're sending your Spirit. So whatever you have from your Spirit, I want that because that means I have you." Remaining filled. And there are others of you who you're big on the Spirit. And you want to be filled and you have been filled and you want and that's like the pinnacle. But Christ and remaining or abiding in Christ, and sometimes people who are very focused on the Spirit are a little bit more, can have a tendency to not be as big on obedience. Because there's freedom in the Spirit, right? But yet remaining means I got to obey. The words of Christ have to be as important as the power of the Spirit. And so the two together. So some of you may be really into the Spirit. But you also have to be equally about remaining and abiding in Christ. See, the two go hand in hand and you can't have one without the other. Remaining will lead to being filled. Being filled will push you back to Christ too. The two go hand in hand, all for whose glory? The Father's glory. So this morning, I hope you have a little bit of an understanding of how. But I hope the how drives you to the why. Why do I need this? Apart from Christ, I'm dead. Why do I need this? Because the only way I'm going to bear fruit for the Father's glory is to remain and be filled. Why do I need this? Because I need to be able to have the love of the Father. I need to have the joy of the Lord. I need these things to live for the glory of God. May it drive you to Christ. And may you see this morning that obedience is not a drag. It's not a killjoy. Obedience is not legalism. Obedience is the pathway to remaining in the Father's love. We're marked by his presence. Remaining and being filled. The two go hand in hand. So, you know, this morning I didn't really have any specific thing that the Lord said, this is how you end it, and this is the way that you apply it. Because I believe that this message has so many different possible application points, and to say this is the thing that the Lord is saying, the one thing, I don't think would be doing justice to the number of people that are here this morning or who are watching or who are listening sometime. But we believe that our God is personal and that he speaks to us exactly where he's at, even as he's speaking to us as a whole. And so to wait on the Lord just a moment this morning and say, "Holy Spirit, come, speak to me. What does this word, where does it apply to my life? Where do I need encouragement? Where do I need to shift? Where do I need to obey? What is the thing that I need to hear from you?" So spend a moment just before the Lord, listening to him. Father, you're the gardener.